Okay. Welcome, everybody. I figured this was better than making everybody walk to shul today. I figured that wasn't going to work out so well. I literally had to shovel as I walked out of my house this morning. So great to see everybody. Happy birthday, Jess. Oh, we have more. Who's that? Andrew? Also here? Okay, great. All right. So we are up to Parshas Tetzaveh. So let's get going. Everybody have the source sheet that I posted? You can see it? Yes? Okay, good. If you want it? Yes? Anyone not have it? Yes. Okay. Great. Shani, you're the best at the reactions so far on Zoom. Okay, so let's start. Parshas Tetzaveh begins actually in a very unique way. And maybe unique for ways that we remember, maybe unique for ways that we had never thought of. So let's take a look. So the parsha begins the following. Last week, Parsha's Truma was all about the Kalim of the Mishkan, right? We learned about the Aron and the Menorah and the Mizbeach, etc., etc. And now, Parsha's Tetzaveh, classically, we say, is all about the Big Day Kahuna. It's all about the clothing that were made for the Kohanim, for the Kohen Gadol, etc. But this Parsha begins, source sheet. Just post it one more time, in case you don't have it. No interruption, all good. Okay, should be there, okay? Anyone doesn't have the source sheet, now I just posted it in the chat again, so you should have it. Okay, so the parsha though begins as follows. V'atatitzaves b'nei Yisrael, and you should command b'nei Yisrael. Who's you? Presumably, everyone can unmute yourselves as much as you like these days. Who's v'ata? Who do we think about us? Hello?
Moshe.
Yeah, Moshe. Good. Excellent. Right. So, Moshe, Ata. Fine. Already funny. Why are we calling Moshe V'ata? We just started the Parsha. Okay. Titzaves B'nei Yisrael. You should command Moshe. You should command Kala Yisrael. V'ichu Elacha. And they should bring to you Shemen Zayit Zach. Pure olive oil. Kasis Lama'or. Explain what that means exactly. Crushed to be used for lighting. Lahalos Ner Tamid. To bring up a light constantly. We'll say it that way. Whatever translation you want to use, it's not so simple to explain, right? So what is happening here exactly? Fine. Ba'oha Moed, where are you going to do that? In the Mishkan, presumably. Michutz la Parochas, outside the Parochas was the, what do you call it?
Curtain.
What?
Curtain.
Curtain?
Curtain, thank you. Curtain, yeah, curtain that would separate the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's outside the Parochas, I mean, it's not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Asher Alehidus, Yaroch, Oso, Aaron, Ubanav, Me'er, Barbok, Lifnei Hashem. Aaron and his children will set it up. Set up what, by the way? Bini, you're muted. What?
Menorah?
We don't know. Yeah, it sounds like it. Menorah, I think so. Doesn't say Menorah anywhere. All right, I'm just, right? Aaron and his sons are going to set this up to give light all the time, every single day, night and day. Okay, so what is Moshe being commanded here? What would you say? Again, not based on what you like know outside context. I'm telling you, like, just tell me the psukim. What do these psukim tell you is, what are we talking about so far? What does it sound like? What do we know from the text, at least at this point? What would you say?
We're bringing oil for lighting.
Bringing oil for lighting. Something, right? We don't know exactly what we're bringing oil for lighting. Presumably it means the menorah, right? But if anyone came on late, there's a source sheet in the chat. But yeah, there's something that Moshe is being commanded, presumably Moshe, V'yata presumably is Moshe. We also see that contextually, as all the, you know, the psukim before this and the end of Parshas Truma are all talking to Moshe. So Moshe is told to command B'nai Yisrael to make pure olive oil that should be used for lighting something, presumably lighting the menorah, even though it doesn't say that, right? And who's going to do that? He's going to have Aaron and his sons do that constantly. Yeah? So far. Okay, so far so good. V'yata hakrev elecha es Aaron achicha. Now, bring to you, Aaron, your brother, Vespanav, Yitom, Mitoch, Bnei Yisrael, Achanoli, bring them to be Kohanim. Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Tamar, Bnei Aaron. Aaron and his four children. And then he continues, Vesis, the Big Day Kodesh, etc., etc. And that becomes the whole story about the Big Day Kahuna. So, but it also, you notice that even as the Prakim are split up, again, the Prakim were not split up by Chazal in this way necessarily, but the reason there's a parak break there is for a good reason, right? It sounds like two different conversations, sort of, right? We're talking about bringing the oil for the menorah or for something in the Mishkan, and then afterwards we talk about bringing Aaron to become the Kohen Gadol and his children and their clothing, which is going to be the rest of Parashat Tetzaveh. Okay, anybody have any questions about these psukim, pasuk chaf aleph, how they're structured? Anything about them seem a little bit funny to you? A reminder: you can really unmute yourselves as much as you like right now. The thing I love about this shiur usually is we talk a lot, so let's go.
I feel like in Teruma, there are so many questions around the language Vaiku Li Teruma instead of like.
Good.
And if just based on the text, it's not really much of a question. I would just have the same question, but like I don't feel like there's a lot of lore around the use of Vaiku in this week's parsha.
Correct. You're right. The language is consistent in that sense that you should be right because mm-hmm. What's the language? What language should it be?
Yitnu,
right? Vatatzves b'neisha v'yitnu elecha Hashem and Zayizach, right? They should give to you, maybe. Okay, good. So that's one question. Why v'chu? Same question you have generally by Truma. Also, there's a lot of interesting Dvar Torahs about it, which are nice. You know, the more you give, you really receive, right? That's why the language of kachu always is take for yourself tzedakah. I wouldn't take for yourself, I'm giving it to somebody. And so it is, the only money you really take with you is the money you give away, right? So there are you know, ideas like that. But tell me more about these psukim. Why is that funny?
Why doesn't it say who instead of viata?
What should it say?
Vayisber Hashem al Moshe.
Yeah. Vayitzav, you know, Vayidber Hashem Moshe, and Lord Tzav, it's B'nai Yisrael. We find that all the time. Right? Why specifically V'yata Titzaveh? You, Moshe, you should command. Very different. We have many times. We have Vayidber Hashem Moshe, Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, like command, or Tzavis Aaron, V'espanav Le'mor. Right? You have multiple times when the Torah will say that. Here it's V'yata Titzaveh B'nai Yisrael. Good. Okay? Anything else? Yeah?
Moshe and Aaron together a lot also.
Mm-hmm.
And like something specifically for Aaron to do, why isn't Hashem just commanding Aaron?
Good. Tell Moshe to tell Aaron to do it. Have them bring, why don't they just bring the, if Aaron is the one who's going to be lighting the menorah, bring the oil to Aaron. Right? Why bring it to Moshe? Good. Yeah,
so
anything else?
You kind of illuminated this, that it doesn't specifically say the menorah.
Good.
Like it seems to be some kind of ner tami that maybe isn't the menorah. Ah. Why is it being so nebulous about the menorah?
Yeah, just say light the menorah. And it's not like we don't ever say, right? We talk about lighting the menorah all the time. Just say light the menorah. Why don't you just say that? Good. Excellent. Anything else?
How did they know what a menorah was?
Good. They're gonna get they did know what the menorah was because Moshe was commanded in last week's
Moshe
parsha.
Saw.
Moshe's commanded, right, last week's
Moshe
parsha in Truma.
Told them,
yeah, so Moshe's told them about a menorah already. That is true.
Right.
But again, I don't know. Maybe it's obvious. And go away, it's fair. Someone say, what are you talking about a light here? Obviously light the menorah. Okay, that's fine. But I don't know. Does it have to be? Could it be something else? Well, it is funny not to tell me. And just by the way, like we said, you don't tell me who the person is. Why not tell me that it's Moshe? Why not tell me that you're letting the menorah? There's just a bunch, and I'll ask you something else. It's kind of, you know, again, you could ask this as a kasha or not, but I'm just saying, this parsha is, if I asked you what Parsha Tetzaveh is about, what would you tell me?
Big Day Kahuna.
So, well, you know, you could have put these two psukim, which are about lighting the menorah, could very easily have gone where? In the end of last week's parsha. Yeah, but in last week's parsha.
But also, one second. If Nadav and Avihu were killed and we don't know why.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful who. You can't just say, okay, go light. You have to be very specific about who will.
Okay.
And how will.
Okay.
They do it.
You're saying that's why it's Vatat Tetzaveh?
Yeah, but we don't know yet to who because...
Well, he's gonna. He tells him that it's gonna. You're gonna ask Aaron and his sons to do it. But I'm just saying the psukim. You could have easily placed this commandment of how to light, what to light the menorah with. I don't know. It's easy. I would have assumed it goes right next to the menorah, right? Which is in last week's parsha again, right? So there's a lot of interesting things going on here, and in fact, many. I found too many answers to these questions, to be honest, to share with you all of them this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. But I want to share with you a few different approaches to dealing with this sort of like the sort of nebulous way all of this is being described to us. Okay? All right.
I have one more question.
Yeah, go.
We have some repetition. Like in the first pasuk, it refers to the Ner Tamid. It should be continual. And then in the next pasuk, it says, my Arab Ad Boker. And then, Chukat Olam Lador Tam. Like an eternal decree. It's this language of like always, forever, continual, morning to night.
Yeah, what's that about? The continuous forever, morning to night. Like what is going on here? Good. It's a lot of emphasis on the continuity of that light. Yes? I think so. Good. Okay, excellent. Okay, so let's take a look at some answers. Source number two is the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim, usually we find the Baal HaTurim gives us like a very cool gematria here or there. Here it kind of is more expansive. This is on an idea you probably have heard before, but this is a good source for this idea. And he writes the following, Yata titzaveh, lo hiskir Moshe bazeh haseder. Right? Moshe is not mentioned here. Zeh haseder, he means like, right, like people say, like, ask someone the parsha, so like old school people call it the sedra, right? That the each parsha is called like a seder. So Moshe is not mentioned here, in the whole parsha. Moshe's name doesn't come up one time. Masha einkim b'chol ha-chumish. Right, which is not true in the rest of Chumash. Obviously, his name doesn't come up in Bereishis because he wasn't born yet. But meaning, from the time he's born, in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, all the way through, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every single parsha except Tetzaveh. Okay, why is that? Shemisha Shanola Moshe Ein Seder Shalo Huskaba. Right, from the time he's born, he's always mentioned. V'atam, what's the reason? Mishum Sha'amar Mecheinina Mesifracha Asher Kasavta. Right, so what is the reason? The reason given, this is a classic thing we've heard before, probably, that when Moshe Rabbeinu I'm just going to want to post the sheet for anyone who didn't get it yet. Hold on one second. Why can I now not post it? Just kidding, I can. Sorry, just in case it came late, there's a source sheet in the chat now. So when Am Yisrael sinned at the Chet Egel, so what happens? So Moshe Rabbeinu is davening on their behalf. What does he say to Hashem? Forgive the people, and if not, Mechinina Mesifrecha Sheker Safta. If not, then erase my name from your book. Right? So what does Hashem say? So Hashem doesn't do that, right? Hashem actually listens to him and he saves the people, right? So what should happen? Nothing should happen. However, says that continues the Baal HaTurim, he writes, "V'killas chacham afilu al tanai ba." So Gemara Mako says when a Talmud Chacham says a klala, they say something. So even if he said it as it was on condition, and the condition didn't ever come true, right? Hashem didn't destroy the people. Nevertheless, he said it, and v'niskayim ba baze. It has some type of kiyum. It has an impact, right? We say things; they have an impact. Especially if you're a Talmud Chacham. Va'od, the Zua Parsha, Medaberes. So that's answer number one. So answer number one is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu's, this is like, we've heard this before, right? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not appear in Tetzaveh? Because he said, Mechenina Mesivacha Shekasavta, and Hashem says, fine, if you say that, I will remove your name, not from the whole Torah, but I'll remove it from one Parsha. Fine. That doesn't explain, by the way, what? What does it not explain? Why Tetzaveh? Right, that only explains why his name should be gone from some Parsha. That doesn't explain why it's gone from this Parsha. But okay, fine. So that's answer number one. But he has another answer. Va'od, dezua Parsha midaberes petachsisei kahuna. This Parsha is talking all about the Beit Kahuna. Moshe haisa kaduna gadol latseis, and Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Ella Ayadesh Sirev Lelech Bishlichus Hamakam Natla Mimenu Vinatna La Aaron. Right? Someone's the Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu for those 7 days on Har Sinai, before, again, this is before he ever becomes the leader. He doesn't want to become the leader. And he says, no, I don't want to. Da, da, da. He refuses five different times. So eventually Hashem becomes angry with him. And he says, fine, you know, shlach na biyati shlach. And Hashem says, okay, fine, but he's upset. And so he, at that moment, say Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the leader and the Kohen Gadol. Instead, it was split. And Aaron takes over. Okay, so what? So lachein lo nisker shmo shemoshe v'parshazu v'mpnei agmas nafsho, right? So his name does not appear here because, like, agmas nafsho is a good question. Does it mean, like, that he was upset? He felt bad? But in some way, Moshe is, like, minimized by this parsha. Because this parsha is all about the Kohen Gadol, so his name is removed. Lachein lo, fine. Because of tzava b'minora, v'chein b'tamid tzaves b'nei Yisrael. Why does it say the deletion of tzav, right, titzaveh? Because there's something that has to be done every single day. And they are expensive. And therefore they need a little extra, what do we call it? What would we say, zeros? How would you translate zeros?
Haste.
What?
Haste.
Haste. Yeah, sort of like a strengthening of yourself to, like, really push yourself to do it, right? So whenever the language of tzav is used, the Chazal always say, from here you see that they needed to be like mizaris themselves. They need to strengthen themselves to do it because otherwise something about this was harder to do. Right? Fascinating, by the way, that the Baal Turim says there's two reasons why this mitzvah of the shemen that was used for the menorah was hard. And we needed a little extra strengthening. Number one, because it was expensive, but number two, because it had to be done every day. Anything that has to be done with consistency is more difficult, right? Sometimes things that are easier, but they have to be done every day, that's much more difficult to do. Ask anyone who starts to exercise, right? It's hard to do every single day. It's to do it once, to do it, you know, once or twice a week. Okay, fine. Or when I'm into it, or when I'm feeling that way, so fine. But to every day, again, another time, right? It's hard. It's hard to do. And consistency needs its reasons. Fine. Okay, so what are the two reasons we've given for why it says V'yata Titzaveh and not Moshe Rabbeinu? Number one, because Moshe said Mecheni Na Mesivcha, so his name gets removed from one parsha in the Torah. We didn't explain why this parsha, but a parsha. And number two, because this was supposed to be his parsha. And now it wasn't, and it gets taken from him, so his name is missing. And number three, the Baal Turim notes a different point, why the language of Titzaveh, specifically, right? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor. V'yikru elecha Hashem, you know, daber b'nei Yisrael. V'yikru elecha Hashem zayizas. Why titzaveh? Because this is a type of mitzvah that A, is expensive, and B, requires consistency every single day, and therefore is something that was harder to do, and he wanted to give extra, Hashem wanted to give a little extra, you know, strength to the mitzvah. Fine. I'll just add, interesting, I've never seen this before, the Baal Turim writes, just below the next paragraph, titzaveh b'gematria. The word titzaveh in gematria is nashim tziva. So you have v'yata titzaveh, the language titzaveh, word titzaveh, is the gematria of women are commanded. Remez la'lakas haner le'nashim chovev shabbos. Interesting. The language that talks about the lighting of the menorah has a reference, a remez, says that this is what we're used to from the Baal Turim. These kind of, like, interesting gematrias that you see from here, a hint, to the idea that women are the ones who have to have the requirement to light Shabbos candles. Interesting. Okay, fine. Okay, and I'll add one last point that I just happened to see that he says, v'yikhu elecha. We said, what's this language? Like, bring it, you should take it to yourself. What do you mean take it to yourself? It's for Hashem. It's for the menorah. And says the Baal Turim, eini ani, eini tzarech le'ora. Meaning it is yikhu elecha. Why lakach? I mentioned in the beginning, why is it take? Because it's not for me, says Hashem, it's for you. It'll inspire you, it'll remind you of certain things, etc., which we're going to see more. But it's not about me, it's about you. And therefore, that's why in this case, v'yikhu elecha is something that actually you take for yourself. Fine. Okay. So those are the answers to the Baal Turim. Fine. Let's take a look at source number three, our good friend, the Rashban. Okay. All right. So the Rashban writes as following. V'yata titzaveh. L'malahu omer, daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li truma. So meaning, he asked the same question. Why v'yata titzaveh? Before it said, speak to b'nei Yisrael and they should take truma. Same thing. Speak to b'nei Yisrael and they'll take the Shemen Zayis. Why here, all of a sudden, Titzaveh. So he says, Lefi Shah Litzor HaMishkan, because that was only for the need then, right? There was no mitzvah to build a Mishkan after the Mishkan is built. It's a mitzvah lizman, right? It's a shaita, just for one moment. There's no mitzvah now for us to build a mishkan. We have no such mitzvah. Aval kan should see. We should check. I don't know that everyone agrees with this, but like you know, some of the ways that the people who count mitzvos, right, they count the 613. Do they include the building of the mishkan as part of that sivur? Some explain that the building of the Beis Hamikdash is, but it's a good question. Like, in what way do all these pieces that are committed to us, are they all forever or they're just for that moment? It's interesting. But he says it's lisha. Aval kan should sivur zed lachol adoros. But the bringing of the oil of the menorah would be forever, right? As long as there was a Beis Hamikdash. That was a mitzvah that you've done every single day. Now, I was only going to, you know, build the menorah one time, hopefully, right? But I'm going to have to continue to make, you know, bring the shemen lamaor every single day. And therefore, lakachu omer v'atat etzaveh, shina halashon, lefisha kol lashon tzava ledorosi. So he says, why the lashon tzav? Not because it needs zeros, but because it's something that's forever, has to keep happening. By the way, you could put it together. They could be together, right? If requirement of zeros is for something that needs consistency, so certainly it's true for something that it needs to be done forever, right? After a few thousand years, it gets hard to keep it up, right? So you could say this. You could say the same. They're kind of related. Okay, fine. V'cheinu omer betoras kohanim v'sifrei ki kol lashon tzivoy enu ela miyadu ledoros. The language of zeros, you know, the language of tzav is, again, it's forever. Fine, that's the Rashbam's answer. Okay. I want to show you a couple other things. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says something so interesting. He asked all these questions. The Orach Chaim asked them, the Kli Yakar asked them, everyone asked all these questions, like, why v'yata, why titzaver, why is this here specifically? They all asked all these same questions. And it's the Orach Chaim has multiple answers, and he says one thing that I thought was interesting in source number 4. Remember that Orach Chaim is called Orach Chaim HaKadosh because he is like much more, you know, is really known as a Kabbalist and a mystic. And he writes the following: Od Yirmos Litzad Ki Giyas Man Teitakun LaAaron Birer Hashem LaMoshe Hamalchus VimLicho Al Yisrael. So we talk about the fact that this moment was a moment that was hard for Moshe. Why? Because Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. But he notes that when Aaron becomes the Kohen Gadol, what is also happening is that Moshe Rabbeinu is becoming the Melech. And a lot of times you have the Chazal talk about as Moshe as the king, even though he wasn't formally a king, but he is like the king. Where Aaron is the Kohen Gadol and Moshe is the king, just like later on, we're going to have, you know, David HaMelech and Shmuel and Shlomo, etc. When they were the king, there was always a Kohen Gadol still, right? There's two different roles. So he says, V'hu amro titzaveh b'nei Yisrael al derech omro v'yitzaveyu Hashem l'nagid. Right, the language is Vayitzaveyu is Hashem commanded to make Shaul or to make David, to make them the king. So it was a tzivoy. The language of tzivoy is like a command to like inaugurate or to anoint or to appoint him to become the king. The language of tzivoy can be used as Vayitzaveyu Hashem to become the leader. Vagam shebe eretz mitzrayim amar kosev Vayitzaveyu b'nei Yisrael. We already said about Moshe Benu Vayitzaveim b'nei Yisrael, meaning Pirash Nusham Sha'asa'am Moshlim Ba'am, that Hashem made Aaron and Moshe like the rulers of Am Yisrael. Kan Yachad Moshe Lamachos Yisrael v'Aaron HaKohen. V'ulai ki lazenit kavein Masha Amra Kosu v'atem tiulim emlechas konin v'goy kadosh. We see this pasuk back in Parshas Yisrael before the Yet Matan Torah. So we say that you're going to be for me a community of Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. So we usually say that refers to all of Am Yisrael, right? That we're all like Kohanim to the whole world. But he wants to say a different pshat. He wants to say, what is the language of you guys are going to be Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, Mamleches Choser al Moshe, Moshe is the Melech, Kohanim Aaron Ubanov, Aaron and his kids are the Kohanim, v'Goy Kadosh, Elu Halavim. So what he's kind of doing here is arguing that the language of Yata Titzaveh at B'nai Yisrael is sort of, and again, he doesn't say it's because Moshe felt bad or Moshe, you know, lost out on not being the Kohen Gadol, but he wants to argue that, like, as in this Parsha, this would explain why these psukim come before the story of the Beit Kahuna. Aaron's becoming the Kohen Gadol. We're going to set up his clothing, etc., all that stuff. And so what do? So Hashem says, yeah, but Moshe, we have to set you up too. So if v'yata titzaveh, Moshe, you're going to be the Melech. I'm now making you, I'm appointing you king. And now that you are king, we'll appoint Aaron the Kohen Gadol. And so these two psukim sort of are like a way of setting Moshe in place before we set Aaron in his place, which is interesting. I never saw this before. An interesting idea that we kind of give them both their spot, and that language of titzaveh is a language of appointment, making him into the king. Okay, so but now I want to show you the Kliyakar. Kliyakar source number 5 addresses this question of, sort of addresses our question, why are we not talking about the menorah? Why don't we just say menorah? And he says something super interesting. Look at source number 5. The Kliyakar also asks all the questions that we asked, and then he gives like a few different answers. And he writes the following, source number 5. Vinira liyashiv. Kol zeh b'mashe kasev haramban. He goes, I'm explain all this based on something the Ramban writes, which is what? Ki masha amar lahalos ner tamid. What's this language of to, you know, allow to rise a light constantly? Hainu ner maravi shaya dolek leolam. There was one candle or one flame on the menorah that always stayed lit no matter what. It was a nes. You didn't have to reset it. It was called like the ner maravi. It's based on how the menorah was. I don't know if it was the middle candle. But it's one of the most Western candle, but it was always lit at all times. So Aaron would always reset the menorah and relight it, etc. But it wouldn't be lit constantly. It had to be relit every single day. But the Ner Maravi was consistently lit all the time. Okay. Aval Shahar Neros Lo Hayutamid Kiim Me'erev Aboker. Jess, which is your question. Why mention Me'erev Aboker and also list Ner Tamid? The answer is, it's actually two different things, right? The menorah was lit Me'erev Aboker, but it had to be relit. The Ner Tamid, the Ner Maravi, was always lit, was lit all the time. With this, he said we can answer all of our questions. Why? Ki amar shetziva Hashem leMoshe ala Mishkan v'chol kelav v'chilek haMishkan leShlosha chalakim. Right? Hashem commands Moshe to build the whole Mishkan and splits it into three sections. Right? What are the three sections of the Mishkan? There's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's the Kodesh, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only the Aron. The Kodesh has the menorah, the Mizbeach HaKetores, right, the incense Mizbeach, and the Shulchan. And then you have the outside, right, which becomes like the Ezra's Nashim, the other parts, which are the Chatzer in the Mishkan, which has the Mizbeach, where they bring the animals, right? So it's three sections of the Mishkan, okay? Va'al kulam amar v'yasuli mikdash v'shachati p'socham. But on all of them, Hashem commanded, if you make the Mikdash, I will dwell in it. V'haya ha-paroches mavdil ben kodesh le-kodesh kadashim. Right? So the paroches would separate between the kodesh kadashim and the kodesh. V'ratza Moshe shebachol chilek yiyeh davar ha-moreh ahal she-ashchina shrui b'Yisrael. There had to be something in every one of the sections of the Mishkan that showed that Hashem's Shechina was present. Okay? If you went to the Kodesh Kadashim, that's obvious. You had the Luchos in the Aron. You couldn't actually see them. They were inside the Aron, but they were there, right? And he explains how the Luchos, it's obvious, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's the hand of Hashem, literally. Like the Luchos are carved out in a miraculous way. The Mem and the Samech, you read the Luchos front and back the same. There's tremendous miracles in the Luchos. So it's very obvious that that you saw the Yad Hashem, the Shekhinah, when you walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that was easy. Okay. And then he says, Ha'amnam, three lines from the bottom of that paragraph, Acha she'aparochas mafsik, but there's a parochas there. Ve'ein kol adam rasha levosham, actually no one could go there. Pen chalil yomar ha'mehar ha'rotze l'shakir yachik edam. Maybe someone's going to say, hey, yeah, Hashem's in there, but he's not in here. Al-kein hutzrach ha'kadosh, and by the way, they couldn't even see he was in there. So Hashem had to make, or decided to, he didn't have to, but decided to make a consistent miracle happening all the time, also in the Kodesh. Basically, any person who could look into the Kodesh would see that there's one candle that was always lit, no matter what, which was a nes, that would happen. If you didn't have a parochas, you wouldn't need it. But the point being that it was beyond the parochas. Why is he pointing this out? Because that's the language, right? Michutz la paroche. Asher al Eidu. Why does he say michutz la paroche? What's that all about in the pasuk? So the answer is, this is a sign that was outside the Kodesh HaKadosh. Fine. And he says, next paragraph, Ulatza zu nemar shakol parsha zu ena kavana litzavos al neros ha-menorah. That's why this little section here is not about lighting the menorah. That comes later. We have Baaloscha, where we tell the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. That's not what this is about, and that's why it's not commanding Aaron, right? Ki'im b'parshas ha-emor, sham ikar makom shal tzivoy zeh. V'kan ikar tzivoy al ner ma'ravi zeh. L'galot l'moshe ki af al-pi she'aparuches mi'chasel Aaron ha-yidus, mikom makom yegam b'makom ha-kodesh, nes mitamid, matmid, ha-mifarsem ki Hashem shochein shama. The purpose of this whole conversation is about that ner tamid that would be there all the time. Fine. He points out that Moshe Rabbeinu also was like the source of all the Nisim, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was like Chazal said he was like the sun, and he would give over, and like Yeshua was the moon, and that he would like, you know, even when he elects the Shoftim who would work for him, so he gives from his Vinasnu Meholcha Alav, you're going to give the presence of a shkita that was around Moshe Rabbeinu is like given over to these shoftim. And Rashi there says it was like a one candle that lit 70 candles, right? You don't lose anything by giving to somebody else, but that was what Moshe would give. So Moshe Rabbeinu is always the source of giving over the presence of a shkita to other people. And therefore, that's why this commandment specifically is v'atatitzaveh, and specifically to Moshe, again, because all that would come from Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, look where it's bolded and underlined at the bottom. Lakach ne'amar v'atatitzaveh. Lomar v'ata ha'inu mimahus atzmuscha, from yourself, Moshe, v'tosvos ora shebecha, from the extra light that's within you, titzaveh b'nei Yisrael. Right, you're going to command them why to do this thing, which shows reveals Hashem at all times. By the way, if that's true, he doesn't mention noting Hashem outside the Kodesh. What's that?
Maybe the Lechem
Apanim? So Lechem Apanim, yeah, you're right. The Lechem Apanim is on the inside also, yeah.
Yeah, but or the Ketoret?
So I think maybe it's that there was also a constant fire on the Mizbeach outside, I think Chazal say. That the fire on the Mizbeach, well, they had to continually put new wood up there, but I think that fire also was also consistent all the time, and also via Nes. But you're right, the Lechem Apanim was also, Chazal's talk about, they used to show that when people come to the Olei Regel, they would show them the Lechem Apanim and say, look how, you know, they would be swapping them, and they say, look, this is as fresh as this one. You know, it was like a Nes that would happen. So there were lots of Nesim that were happening. But regardless, the whole point here being there's a Nes that like Moshe wanted to have there, and then Hashem wanted to be there, but it would come like almost like in the Zuchus of Moshe, and that's why Moshe is the one commanded to do it. Okay, fine. But I want to show you two, I'll show you one more, and then tell you another one, which I think is remarkable, like a beautiful, beautiful idea. So it's Zayin Torah in source number 6, Rav Zalman Saretzkin, as we quote him a lot, because his ideas are always so unique and new. This idea is not super unique, but the way he says it, I think, is amazing. In source number 6, he says something amazing. He says, V'atatitzaveh, b'seder zeh, lo nizkar shmo shel Moshe. Right? So we know, again, Moshe's name not in the Parsha. Right? If you don't save Am Yisrael, then erase my name. Even though Hashem forgave Am Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. Niskaima klalas tzaddik. Right? Aideza shalom niskar shmo b'parshat tetzave. Ukvar be'arnu es atam lama davka b'tetzave. Right? Why not? Why specific tetzave? Me'inin hadav. He says a different shot earlier in the sefer why he thinks that is, but he says something else. Me'inin hadavar. Because later on, what happens? We split the Torah into parshios. Kavu parshazu shalonisgar ba shem adon kol neviim leshavua shachal bo zayin adar. Okay, zayin adar is this week, very soon. Tonight, yeah. So zayin adar is tonight. By the way, it wasn't always true, right? It used to be they would read. Some communities would read the Torah in a three triannual cycle. So it wasn't always true that Tetzav always comes out on Zayin Adar. But when Chazal did set the calendar to set it this way, that you read it once, we read it through the whole year, Chazal were the ones who decided that Tetzav always comes out on the week of Zayin Adar. Again, it's not a Nes. They set it up that way. It didn't like, you know, it's not like some miracle. They set it up that way. But he wants to talk about what's the value, why would Chazal do that? Why is that important? Okay, sorry, Zayin Adar is the day when Moshe Rabbeinu was born and the day when Moshe Rabbeinu died. Okay, Zion Adar. The birth and yurt site of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So what's this about? So what do they do? That Yom Histalkuto of Yom Huladet as Moshe Rabbeinu. The day when he died and the day when he was born. Vadas no senes. And why is that? Shebezer ratzu hachameinu zal lahavlit et ofia shel emunas Yisrael hatahora shelohemide es amuchokek ish elokim b'merkaz hapuchan hadati v'avodas Hashem. So why did they do that? Because on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu is born and dies, what do we read about him? Nothing. He disappears. All of a sudden, we read about Moshe Rabbeinu every single week. And all of a sudden, in this week, Moshe Rabbeinu is the yahrzeit, and Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. So what should we do in shul? We should talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. We should have, you could imagine easily, right? We'll make it this whole week to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's his yahrzeit, and instead, what do? We actually don't say his name. Not even one time. Why? Because we don't want the leader of Am Yisrael, sort of like, you know, I don't know if we'd call him this, I wouldn't call him this, like the founder of the Jewish people. He's not the founder of the Jewish people, right? On purpose. And we don't want him to be at the center. Okay? Kamosha anaroim be'amunot aminot acherot. He says, like we find in other religions, he's probably talking about Christianity, but Islam also, it makes the prophet, right, the center of the religion. Why? Shikol ha'chagim v'amuadim sovavim v'hochim acharei chayav ha'pratiim shal mechokek, right? Certainly when it comes to like Christmas and New Year's and Easter, they're all surrounding things that he did, right? They're all about that person, right? Hachag hayoter gadol, hu yom hu ledet hamechokek. What's the holiest day? Is the day when that person is born, right? V'acharav ba yom misa shalom, and then the day when he dies, etc. V'imeyat tzom hametanim kshurim b'sivlo v'tzaro. The days they fast have to do with hard things that happened to him. Again, there's such a focus on the leader of your religion. V'ze oseroshe makes an impact. Ki hakol nivra lichvado. Everything is created for him, for his honor. V'chol ha'emunah, he rock bow, and all of the belief is actually what ends up happening, right, in Christianity, is belief in him. It becomes an importance to believe in him. V'lekavod atzmo hu dorish. Shekol ha'machzik b'knaf b'gdo, yesh tolchet lam haba. If you hold on to his coattails, you get a lam haba, right? Meaning if you believe in him, so then you go to heaven, right? Just by believing in him. V'acharav hechziku kohane b'mosav limkor mechila navonot v'olam haba v'cholamar mechiram, says that it can lead to, you know, bribery and, you know, a coin, you know, a priest says, if you give me enough money, then you'll be in with him, etc. Fine. Lo chenhu, but this is not about Christianity per se. That's about Christianity. But the thing is so interesting is the next point. Lo chenhu chelik Yaakov v'taratov. That's not true when it comes to Jewish people. Hamichalkek nishar nechba el akelim. In the end, the prophet, our most important prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu, he ends up being hidden. Ein ha'am, right? Yodea et yom huledet et Moshe, o et yom sheniftar bo. Right? Meaning, we know because he says, Milvad alomdim. That's most people. What day is Moshe Rabbeinu's, you know, birthday? They're not going to like, you know, you have to be somewhat learning to know. Oh, Zayin Adar, right? That's the day Moshe Rabbeinu is born. That's not like a famous day. The most Jewish people, right? I'm not saying most Orthodox people. Most Jews, ask them, when's the day was Moshe born? They don't know. It's not a particularly important day. You ask someone who's in the Chevra Kedisha, so they know it's Zayin Adar dinner. Right? But it's like, it's a very, very minor, minor day on the Jewish calendar. We have lots of days. It's very minor, right? She'ein chogim et hayamim ha'gdolim ha'el. We don't celebrate these days, right? V'kama min ha'anava. That sneas, Yeshua saying, he goes, and how much humility and sneas is there in such a thing? Shalochi yevotanu mikabel ha'tara. Lohu, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu himself, lo tamidav, not his students, lo tamidei tamidav, not his students, lahabia lo eza hakarat toda, ba'ad misirat nafsho, b'shat sku'ulos Yisrael, u'b'shat kabas ha'tara min ha'shemayim. This is the person who got the Torah for Am Yisrael. And we don't have like a big birthday party for him. We don't make a big yontif on Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. We don't do anything. We do actually almost nothing. V'lo l'chinam ha'tzehayihida alav Torah Kedosha v'yish Moshe anav me'o b'kol adam ha'she'al p'nei adama. And what does the Torah say about him? That Moshe was the most humble person in the history of the world. U'b'drachav ha'chu gam tamidav. So what happened? That Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person ever. So his students followed in his path. Chachameinu zal. And they notice, hey, this one parsha where Moshe's name is not found. So they said, Amdu v'kavu likro b'seder hazeh b'shavu shachah bo yom b'tirotes. You know what day we should make, what week we should make Moshe Rabbeinu, the day, you know, the parsha where his name isn't found anywhere? Do it on his birthday and his yartzei. Right? This is the amazing part. Why specifically this week? Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu do that showed his anivus? What did he do? Am Yisrael's in trouble. And what did Hashem say? I'm going to destroy Am Yisrael and do what? What did Hashem say? He wasn't just destroy Am Yisrael. What was Hashem going to do?
Make a new nation out of Moshe.
Yeah. Hashem says, Moshe, you're fine. I'm going to kill all those people, and I'm going to start a new... You'll become Avram Avinu. I'll start it all from you. That's not a bad deal. God is offering it. The people were bad. They did bad stuff. And Moshe could have easily have said, if that's what you want to do, God, who am I to disagree? You're God. No? It would have been a reasonable thing to do. If God, I don't know, Hashem comes and says, that's it, Moshe, I'm done with these people. They're the wrong people. Let's start again with you. Oh, that's what you want, God. I mean, if that feels good. But okay, but if that's what you want, God, then fine. And Moshe says, not only does he say no, he says, if you're going to do that, then erase me from the whole book. Not only should you not build the whole community from me, but erase me. I don't want to have any part of this. Why? Because I don't want it to be about me. It's about them. And therefore, what does Chazal do? They take this the parsha that is emblematic of Moshe's, you know, minimizing himself and negating himself because it's not about me. It's about what I can do for the people. And they took that parsha and they stuck it specifically on his yahrzeit and on his birthday. Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted. That was the type of person that he was. Ha'ish Moshe, anav me'omi kol adam Moshe apnei adama. And by the way, you don't think about it, that moment on Har Sinai, when Hashem says, I'm going to kill them all and start from you, and he says, erase my name. We think of that as great leadership. We don't think about the level of humility that it took to do such a thing. And therefore, this parsha is specifically placed on his yahrzeit. It's amazing. And he even writes, he continues here, and he says, look, if you're in the like that left side from the bottom of that paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So this type of person, right? So what, we're gonna have a birthday party for him? We're gonna celebrate him, we're gonna have a yontif for the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, for the yartze of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not what he wants. Right? On his birthday and on his yahrzeit, we read the Seder where his name is erased. We also signify that Hashem is the one who creates the Torah, not an Indian human being. It's like an amazing point that I never thought about. That it's not just that Moshe said, erase my name. He had the opportunity to make it all about himself. And he decided instead to make it not about himself at all. And that's why this parsha is specifically read around the Shabbos of his yahrzeit. Again, that's why Chazal did it. It wasn't not a nes, but Chazal set it up that way. But I want to share, and this fits very nicely with an idea that the Al-Shech says. The Al-Shech says that if you think about how Moshe Rabbeinu felt, and it sounds funny, similar idea. He says, the building of the Mishkan happens by who? Bezalel, who are these other people, right? Moshe doesn't do any of it. He's the head, he's the boss of the project, but he's not really involved in the project at all. And in a certain sense, right, we mentioned before, Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Now we're making the clothing for the Kohen Gadol, and like Moshe is like left out of all of this, right? And so Moshe's not going to complain because he's Moshe, but Hashem wants to give him chizik. And so he says, if you look at the language that's used in the psukim, the Al-Shech explains that each one of the lines in the pasuk are there to show Moshe Rabbeinu like he shouldn't feel bad, how all the things that he's doing are there to help everybody else. And he writes, V'yata. You, right? What is he going to say? He goes, everyone else is you know, involved in doing things that are hushed for them, right? But you, what are you doing instead? I want you to see what you're doing also. The people are going to bring to you pure olive oil, right? Because oil represents potential. And what's going to happen? Lalos ner tamid. Moshe says, your job is not to light the menorah. Your job is to help other people light their light. And Moshe, that's going to be your job all the time. Lalos ner tamid, right? And what happens? Va'akrev yaleches, Aaron achicha, v'espanav. Aaron again had his own worries. Aaron was also nervous. He had made a mistake with the chet ha'egel. Your job, Moshe, bring him in. Encourage him. Show him he can do it. Aaron and his sons, let them, show them what they can be. And so what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe, Moshe, you're gonna tell everybody else what to do. Why? Because you're not interested in what's going to happen to you. Your job here is to la'alos ner tamid, to lift everybody else up. And that's your responsibility. And the oil, in that sense, the drasha, obviously, but the oil always represents potential, the potential to help someone else light their own lamp, and to help someone else light their own light. And by the way, interesting that the language here doesn't say the menorah. It just says la'alos ner tamid. Because your job, Moshe, as a leader, is not to make it about yourself. It's to make it about everybody else. That's real leadership, and that's real parenting, that's real teaching, that's real whatever you do, that's real CEOing, right? The best bosses in the world, right? Don't make it about themselves. They make it about how they can help everybody else see what they can be. And that's our job. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu's job. And if that's true, so then again, it fits perfectly with this idea of Moshe as the Anav. Of Yatatitzaveh, it's not like Moshe being punished that he lost the Kohen Kohanim Gadola. There's some element of that. But really, it's Moshe's removal of himself to a certain extent that allowed him to, you know, to model for Am Yisrael what it means to be a leader, a person who is not interested in what he's going to get. He's interested in how he can help others, how he can be there for others, how he can light other people's light. And in so doing, he shows not just a model of what it means to be. And by the way, yes, a model of religion. Right, the religion is not about any of the particular individuals involved. It's about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and but by Moshe being himself, so he ends up, you know, lifting everyone else up, and it ends the day in a certain ironic sense, kiviyachol lifting up the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he makes it not about himself. He lifts up the Shem Hashem in the world. So I think a little bit of a different way to look at these two small psukim. We always say this, right? You could spend the whole year on any one parsha, but these two psukim, which are just, you know, we throw away. Right, let's get to the Big Day Kahuna, is actually, you know, I think so full of treasures here for us to take with us. And that's like we said, in any role, you know, all of us have people who need to be lifted up, people who need help to see what they can be. And when we can put ourselves away for a little bit, we can allow other people to shine. Okay, thanks everybody for coming on a snow day make it time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shana, for the reaction. And hope everybody has a safe way getting out of your house at some point. And Mirat Hashem, we'll see each other in person very soon.
Thank you.